Okay, hello everyone. My name is Denis Kondratenko, and we will have a little bit of talk about the FinOps and ClickHouse today. So there are not many people in the room, so we can make it interactive. If you have any questions anytime, just ask me, okay? So about myself, Denis, I live like 8 years now in Germany, moved here for SUSE, was working on the CEF there, but then moved on the databases, and now I'm engineering manager for cloud, where we are doing the platform for ClickHouse database in Altinity. Altinity is open source company that creates tools and participates in development of ClickHouse database. So our main solution is a SaaS offering, which we offer the ClickHouse database as a service. So you can connect to it and use it as you wish. As well as we have interesting product like Bring Your Own Cloud, Bring Your Own Kubernetes. We are open source. We have operator for ClickHouse. We have backup utilities, a lot of different stuff over there. Also, ClickHouse development is the thing, and we are developing a lot of data lakes capabilities currently. So let's talk about the FinOps. Actually, I was doing FinOps before I knew the term. I found it later when I started to realize that we need kind of unifications on the specification. And I found this good FinOps foundation, which produces this focus specification. And it's a really interesting practice for us as a startup. We had it in our veins from the beginning, because in startup, you tracking your usage and cost for the cloud really, really carefully to not go over the budget. And we used ClickHouse database for that for a long time, importing the data from the cloud. And but for larger organization, I can see this point, and this is really interesting and important to have this framework of FinOps where you can actually invent into your company to say like, hey, this is our deal. Like we need to track our usage for cloud or for any other resources actually that we have. And FinOps, it's a financial operation. It helps. This framework helps with that because it's kind of starting point for everyone if you do not have anything currently implemented. I really recommend the FinOps. Go to the FinOps Foundation. They'll have a lot of materials. But my interest lies more in the focus specification. This focus specification tries to standardize the way the billing and the usage is done. So they are creating the standard together with different cloud vendors, and actually many cloud vendors already support it. Like AWS has Focus V1.0 export for billing. Other projects like OpenCost, other Azure, other clouds, Azure, GCP, all of them support this. So you can have the standard billing data and usage data for your cloud, and this is what Focus does. I was really excited when I seen it because we have a problem right now. We injecting different billing data from different formats like CSV and etc. into the ClickHouse database to have unified approach. And we do a lot of schema modifications inside to have one schema for billing for any cloud. And Focus is actually standard, and it helps you to adhere to the standard from the beginning. So you do not need to over-engineer your own solution. For example, it defines what is the prepaid, what is the costs, like how they are distributed, what kind of discounts you could have. It's quite flexible, but as starting framework, a starting specification is really, really nice. So you don't need to reinvent the wheel in this case, so you just adhere to the standard. So Focus is actually, what it does is joins like cloud, SaaS providers, any other providers that can export data in this format, so you can then gather all together for your like managers, for technicians, and understand where your costs are spending. And like this is whole idea of the FinOps, is that everyone are responsible for their costs. It's not just like your accounting, it's also your developers. For example, you are spinning some EKS cluster in AWS and forgetting about that. And that's actually then creates some billing problem. Or my favorite example is CloudWatch metrics or something like that, that if you export too much of them, too many of them, then you will have quite big billing. And your developer mistakes of creating incorrect infrastructure, the code, for example, you did some mistake, it's already your responsibility to see if that code works, right? And not just works, that it doesn't leak some resources that can stay in the cloud forever and actually accumulate over time and affect your billing. So one time you will find, okay, why I'm spending more than I'm actually getting from my customers that are running in my cloud. And you will find out that it's like, okay, we need some practice. Every like QA developer, engineering manager, managers are responsible for each layer of this situation. And focus is standard. It's represented there. It's like just a schema and the rules how this stuff is implemented. And they have also the ability to extend it with this X. If you will see this, this is extension for AWS. Oh, sorry. So it's kind of provides all information about the current usage, about the SKUs, and etc. So this is a standard. And actually, they have more. If you will go to their website, for example, they also have use cases where you can find some query, for example, how to query this data. So you even do not need to figure out like how to build dashboard or how I can query this data in my database. So having focus covered and FinOps, let's talk about the ClickHouse. So what is the ClickHouse? I don't know if you have heard about that. Anyone in this room have heard about it? One person. So it's column-oriented database. It's highly performance analytic database. For example, it can query really, really fast, sub-seconds query for large sets of data. It could be used in the marketing, in the e-commerce, where you need to analyze what your customer, for example, you go to website and magically everyone knows about you everything. And this is where these databases and caches are implemented, right? In such kind of databases, when you can query the database sub-zero second and get the response back about like what this client had in the past, or like what kind of group is that client from. Also interesting applications are cryptocurrencies. It also requires quite fast requests and responses about the trading and whatnot. Another interesting example is a gaming, right, where you have a lot of online gamers doing something and you need to analyze their behavior or like their data and player metrics, and etc. Originally, ClickHouse was developed as a logging database, so it can store logs and metrics as well, really well. Why ClickHouse for billing? First of all, it's like you eat your own dog food, right? So we are ClickHouse, show that why we use it for the billing. But it's ClickHouse itself like provides a lot of features that are really useful for the billing, like accumulating the billing from different vendors in different format. For example, materialized view are the best for that. Like you can actually have a really good representation. Then it can be like for billing, you don't really need the sub-zero second queries. You can wait. It's not a problem, especially if billing is hourly or something. But the framework itself of ClickHouse is really, really good. It also supports data lake that we will talk about that a little bit later. So this is like a really simple Boolean query, right? That it could be written to get this data that in this in the focus specification. Data lakes. We are going around the technology, and then I will show you how it's all combined together. So data lakes is kind of attempt to get different sources of data from different formats under one roof and query that in the same SQL format, whatever engine you would like to, and kind of do not care about where they store it, what storage is used for that. And it's like supports different formats, as I said, like JSON, CSV, Parquet, and etc. And on top of the data lakes, usually you have open table format, some kind. Iceberg is one of them. It's also one of the abstractions that allow you to query all of these different data. And in ClickHouse, we made a lot of progress to add data lake support. And that's why I think it's really, really nice for Boolean, and we will discuss it later. Yeah, the new term is also, there is a term of lake houses. That's like kind of combines both data warehouse as well as data lakes. It's actually similar features to the data lakes. This is our current implementation of the Boolean. So what we do, and you have seen this is didn't render right because I asked AI to modify the real JS to have Mermaid render it, but it didn't do a good job. Anyway, it works. So this is our current implementation. We have our ClickHouse instances are running in the Kubernetes cluster, right? Each tenant, if you are a customer, you have your own Kubernetes cluster where your ClickHouse is running, and we export the metrics there. So we have all kinds of metrics about the containers and whatnot, ClickHouse itself, as well as about the cost of those containers. So we use OpenCost Exporter over there. And we also have a ClickHouse provider, which provides us Boolean data in different formats. For example, AWS, we used CSV. It was the previous legacy version, and we still use it, but we are switching to Parquet. And that everything in this picture is like we are getting data about metrics about the tenant, as well as Boolean data from the cloud with ETL pipelines and injecting them to the ClickHouse, right? And then we analyzing them, what kind of cost we have. We also have our own Boolean based on this data that is stored in the ClickHouse. For simplicity, I put only Grafana there, and we do review it regularly. Also, we recommend to have some kind of alerts based on this data as well. OpenCost is a really nice project that I really love. It's almost fit our needs, but we have a really big multi-tenancy. And OpenCost itself, it can aggregate a lot of data from the cloud Boolean as well. Like 1 year or even a little bit more ago, they added cloud Boolean into the OpenCost, and it was really nice. So they kind of trying to understand the current cost in real time, so they download in Boolean information from the API, for example, from AWS or GCP. They download in information about the instances, about storage, etc. And they try to provide you metrics like what is the real time Boolean for your Kubernetes cluster, what resources do you use. And then after they added this Boolean feature, it was really nice because right now you can see this actual Boolean because there are many different, there could be different factors like discounts, there could be some kind of saving plan you buy, or for example, not all features are supported by OpenCost. Like you create a TBS volume or some kind of volume, and then you change the parameters for that, for example, IOPS. And the volume started to cost much more than it actually originally was, and OpenCost doesn't know about that because there is currently no mechanism for OpenCost to query this real time. So they have this reconciliation loop when in the sometime when you have data from the cloud, you can reconcile and see what your actual data is. So OpenCost, if you, and it also actually focus support focus format to export the data. So you can, if you have your tenant in Kubernetes, you want to export data in focus format and build for some workloads, you can do that. So OpenCost is really, really nice. And it's actually the core of our implementation here. So the OpenCost provides us real-time data about the tenants. Another important thing why we use it is, for example, if you're offering your product through the marketplaces, you would need to also provide the hourly billing for the marketplace. And that's how, well, that's a problem because you don't know how much you spent yet. The ClickHub, the AWS billing is not available yet. So we need some kind of data what you bill for. But we are switching to new architecture. We recently developed a lot of features for data lakes in ClickHouse. ClickHouse team as well developed a lot of that, and we also have our own fork that have more interesting feature in it, and this is kind of our architecture for data lakes. So we have the notion of swarm cluster. It's actually many, many ClickHouse servers running on spot instances that can query a lot of data really quick. So they parallelize this query to the different S3 buckets or whatever buckets where the data stored in Parquet, for example. And in this way, we can achieve the same sub-zero millisecond query time, for sub-zero second query time for the like really, really big data. And yeah, this is its representation. So we have Click Catalog is one of the important things here. Is Iceberg Catalog that I talked about before. So it's in Iceberg format, open table format. You can have a catalog that is actually represents the tables and knows the metadata about the tables. So why? Why we are switching to this architecture? First of all, most of the vendors switched the billing to Parquet format, and it enables us really to, instead of having ETL pipelines, we can have actually read the data from where it is, so we don't need to copy it or whatever. It's a Parquet format, it's higher partitioning, so we can know where is the data and query only those parts of the data we need. Also, we considering, and that will be now our next step, is to kind of switch metrics to ClickHouse as well. So we will have the exporter that will export the metric in Parquet format into the S3 bucket, same for logs and traces. In this way, we can utilize the full potential of data lakes, both for observability and for billing. So actually, all of the data about the costs, like from AWS, GCP, Azure, and we also support Hetzner, it will go to the bucket in the Parquet format, where we can read it then as the one table, right? So it's all billing data, it's all in focus format that we can query across the clouds. And this is this main feature of this focus specification, as well as cloud providers are supporting already that, like AWS, Azure, GCP, they all support in the exporting in Parquet in focus format. So, and the missing point currently is this OTel provider. So there is the PR over there to have the exporting the hotel data into the Parquet format. It's already done. They add in the features for S3. So really soon, I think in a couple of months, we will be able to export both like logs and metrics into the same bucket or like different bucket, but that we can query, right? So in this scenario, we are not injecting anything to ClickHouse. We do have the Iceberg catalog that accumulates all of this information about the buckets, about the schema, about the package files, where they're located, and how to query them, right? So it's the feature of open table format to have everything united under these catalogs and data lakes. So this is our future. That's where we're going and implementing it one by one. And in this way, we will have both like real-time open cost. I mean, real-time here is not like in case of billing, you don't need real-time. It's not like super fast and you are storing this data in Parquet anyway. But like 10 minutes, 20 minutes that for the data that you can query is already good enough. So you can analyze that on the dashboards and BI tools. We also are developers of Grafana plugin for the ClickHouse. There is ClickHouse plugin and Grafana and Altinity plugin. It was developed by Verta Media Company first, and then we took over that project, and it's still open source. We are actively developing it, and it's actually allows us to build dashboards in Grafana that can show us this billing data, for example, right? As well as, this is new world, right? We also developed MCP server for ClickHouse. ClickHouse Inc. has its own, but our difference is that we also support these data lake formats and open table formats that you can query. And yeah, and I will show you how it works just for fun, like what can it do. To have the billing right, the really, really important thing that you need to know is the cloud resource tagging. Like if you are starting any kind of project on the cloud, you need to think about it right away and implement it. So you know what environment, who is the owner, what kind of project is that? Because all of this information and these tags are going to the billing information, and you can easily track then who created what resources, to what tenant it belongs, who we should bill for that resource actually as well. Like for the static configuration, this is really easy. I mean, if you use Terraform or something like that, you just use the tag section and just create your infrastructure with tags all the time. The additional problem arises when you have dynamic tags. For example, you create an EBS volume in your Kubernetes cluster, and the Terraform knows nothing about it. So you need some special daemon that will actually look into the new resources and tag them, assigning the tag to the AWS, GCP, whatever resources that are dynamically provisioned. Let's play a little bit. I will show you our... I will show you our interface. So this is like a simple query that is providing the cost per environment and tenant. So I uploaded a couple of days of data into the My Database over here. So this is our interface that we can use for querying the data. So just for fun, this is our cluster. This is a ClickHouse, one node, really small one, but it already has the table and this is data inside of it. So here it is, our development costs for a couple of days. This is shows us like what kind of tenant, what kind of environment, and total cost for that environment or that tenant. Yeah. How to set up Focus? Like as I said, many cloud providers already support the exporting this. This is an example of Terraform module that creates the bucket, and then what it does, it's also like sets the policies. You shouldn't have the bucket public with your billing data for sure. And then creates the configuration with this BCM data export module that actually exports the data from the billing into the Parquet format in this case, and in Focus specification. This is the Focus specification over here. So as we have everything in place, we have billing data, we have ClickHouse. The only thing we need to do now is to actually tell ClickHouse, create the table and tell ClickHouse where the data is. And for that, we use Iceberg REST catalog that we also developed by ourselves, and developed the tool, everything open source. If you're interested in Iceberg REST catalogs, you can check it out. So what it does actually, and this is Iceberg scheme, so the client itself, for example, the ClickHouse as a client, it reads the data about the table, and then it knows how to query it. Like Iceberg catalog provides the credential to ClickHouse, also provides the location of those files, and ClickHouse now can query them directly from the AWS, for example. And Iceberg client is actually, what it does is updates ICE catalog and REST catalog, saying like, hey, I have a new file, new Parquet data in the billing or metrics, whatever. Please create snapshot. Let's create snapshot. Let's put it there. And new table is updated where this data metadata is present. And then this is simply how you do that. You just take this ICE tool and saying, hey, take the schema from this Parquet file and just create the table for me. So in this way, we create an AWS billing table. And then to upload Parquet files, you can, it's not uploading, like you can have two ways to do that. It's like copying data or not copying data, just saying like, here is a location for the data. And you can use stars actually to say like, okay, copy all of the data from this partition or whatever, or not copy, but just create the table with this data. And this is a really nice tool that we created, and it's open source as well. And then after you created the table, this is two commands that you need actually, and we will be implementing the UI for that and everything. After you just added the data and created the table, we just can use it right away. So there is a bucket, there is a billing data, and we can go ahead and check it out what is there. So first of all, sorry, I didn't copy it. I'm not exactly the manager, so Control C, Control V is not the thing. So what we will check is like what this Iceberg catalog has, and then let's see what also this database inside of it. So right now it returned that's like show table. I have two billing data, two billing tables, right? One and second one. And one of them, this AWS billing, can see this number of the rows in it. And yeah, and you can easily query. That's like, okay, show me what kind of data. So it's, it shows, let me prettify that a little bit. So it shows the data, like the Focus formatted data. So in this case, there's some EC2 instance, the cost about it, as well as like cloud tags, like it belongs to this cluster, ClickHouse cluster, how it was created, by whom, etc. So that these tags are really, really important if you use them all the time for your data. And maybe we should have some fun with MCP server. So now, as you have the data in the focus format, I showed you use cases from the focus website. So you can now query the data as you wish, like per tenant, per resource, whatever. And let me introduce you the MCP server, right? So we have created MCP servers. I queried it a little bit. So I use Cursor, but it could work with any other application or AI. So you just configure the MCP server. I think here, yes. It's really simple. I run it locally, and my database is also local. Let me just for the port. So my database is also local, so yeah, it's just the URL to unsecure one, but you can set up secure MCP server as well. And we can ask any kind of questions about data that is there. So it could be some really sophisticated data, or it's just a really simple one. And what it does, it's okay. That's a wrong chat, sorry. Here is the chat with MCP. How many? That was a chat that tried to fix my mermaid diagrams. It didn't work well. So how many tenants we have? And what this thing does, it will query MCP. So it will create the request to MCP server, which an MCP server will call the ClickHouse database and query this data for us. And after that, you will have on the natural language, your mother tongue or whatever, you will have the representation of the data, what you are asking for, right? So it's queries the billing data and creates your reports, and it's those reports could be actually quite nice. Let's query something from my presentation. For example, you can say, hey, if you have that like kind of NMD files, say query that. And so it's kind of a tool that comes handy if you would like to analyze something and represent it really quick, right? For example, you kind of, it's not like prototyping is really, really, really cool because it's, you can see if that makes sense or not. First of all, it's formats really nice and you can see what is going on over here. Also, you can ask it in natural language and then just take this SQL request and put it somewhere in your dashboard. I actually tried it and it works. You can ask it to create dashboards in Grafana really well. The interesting feature, so if you will see these chatbots, right, chat agents, so you can see that they can represent some data in table format, but they also can generate the data in like graphs and whatnot. So I have this. Where is my presentation? Sorry. Ah, okay. Let me do it like this. You also could have this data and say like, hey, create me a report. And it will create really nice reports like that, saying like, okay, what is this cost distribution per this account? What is that? This is really, really nice, especially if you want to impress someone. You don't need to do nothing about creating Grafana dashboard or like using Superset. You just ask it. It creates your HTML with this data, and who knows? Like for POC, really, really nice. You presented it to your boss, boss happy, okay, let's go further. So you don't need to create any code for this or whatever. And it can do like really, really nice SQL queries and represent them in tables, in whatever. So I ask it for anomalies. It's actually found me a couple of anomalies. I mean, there is none, but I mean, it found something. I need to maybe investigate what is those, but this is a small data set. It's just a couple of data, days of billing for development instances. So, but it can do that. You can ask it to analyze it and represent it in graphs. So MCP server, right, really useful. I actually was a little bit skeptic about all of this, but when I tried it, I was really surprised how good it works for something really simple. So what kind of lessons I learned where I was doing this FinOps automation for a couple of years already in ClickHouse? Like, first of all, usage and costs, they are really important to look into them. And it's also not only it's a good practice for accounting or for your billing, but it also shows you some pitfalls of your development. For example, one of the biggest point is cross AZ traffic, right, in AWS. And we found out, okay, why we do not support AZ this same AZ for this service. Like, why are talking cross AZ? And okay, we need to implement some feature. For example, we implemented it for MSK, where MSK can talk to ClickHouse on the same AZ, and they can kind of negotiate which ClickHouse instance to talk to what Kafka broker. So like AZ costs will show you, okay, there is the problem in your code or like in your infrastructure or in your design that you need to address. It's not only the financial data, it's also the data about another dimension of the data about your design and implementation. Also, the investment in ClickHouse paid off really well for us for billing, because we are multi-cloud, right? And it was different formats before over there. Right now, with Focus, it's a little bit better, but ClickHouse choice was really nice and correct for our needs. Now MCP, I was surprised, actually really nice. And we have a Grafana dashboards where we review both developers as well as managers, what kind of our spendings over there. And also our Grafana plugin supports alerts, so you can set up the alert in Alert Manager Grafana and just get alert if your spending skyrocketing or something is off over there. Yeah, and it's the AWS cost, for example, or other big public cloud. This is really risky stuff, because if you did some mistake in your infrastructure, the code, or some manager asked you, or you forgot to delete something, it could result in bills. For example, in my practice, we enabled some CloudWatch metric exporter for EC2. That we are missing in the Prometheus, because it's like burst instances. We wanted to figure out what kind of credits left for the burst instances over there and have alert for that. And we enabled too many of the CloudWatch metrics, and the bill was not really pretty in that month. The good thing is like we catched up it really fast, not super fast, but fast enough to kind of avoid the big bills. If you don't care about the FinOps, and if you don't care about the billing metrics, then three months later you're like, okay, why I'm paying $1 million to the AWS? What the hell is going on? You need to catch it much earlier, when you like 1,000 or something, and it's over there. So good for cost practice as well as really good for designs as well. As I said, your design should be could be more optimal for the cloud than it is, like multi-AZ traffic, for example, or how many instances you run, why you're running that many instances for this workload or not. So all of that is enabled by FinOps. So I was quite fast today. Do you have any questions, any topics to discuss?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the very interesting talk. I would like to ask if I'm running or if I'm a cloud provider, could I use the tool?
Yeah.
For billing purposes? Yes. Sure. So let's. I understand that the assignment of the resources to cost centers, etc., is done by the by tags.
Yeah. I mean, if you're cloud provider, you should have more sophisticated billing systems. Like if you are SaaS provider in the cloud, yes, you kind of do this by tags. You take in the resources you provision for this tenant, for the customer, and then you know how much you spend for it, right? So like, and then you can calculate, okay, this is what I spend in resources, this is my margin, like this is what pricing we agreed, and you can then really easy with SQL request calculate the cost for this customer, and for yourself as well as your margin.
Sure. But my question was regarding tags. If the customer can provide the tags or even delete them, they could circumvent the billing
so,
to some degree.
Correct.
This is right, okay.
So it's like we have two models. Like the one is SaaS, where it's our account. Customer can do nothing.
Yeah.
But we also support BOIC when we deploy our product inside your cloud. So we deploy special instance that is kind of provision resources, and sure you can go and actually touch those tags and etc. But we tackle it by two things. First of all, we have custom platform that is doing reconciliation, and it's, if it sees that there is some inconsistency between the schema and the actual resources, it will just reconcile and add the tag. Other thing that we have a daemon that also tags the dynamic resources like EBS volumes or something like that. And another thing, actually customers are asking for more tags. They are saying, okay, you are in our account. You have your tags, but we want to also have like billing really divided between like our development product. So they're asking us to add even more tags. For example, like if you AWS shop only, you maybe don't need ClickHouse for that because you have really nice billing information already in AWS. There is a lot of data there, query by tags, by anything. But in our case, as we are multi-cloud stuff, we need that. And tagging is really important because, that's what you all need to watch for. Do you have any resources without tags? We even have some security agents that are scanning that and just like giving us a report, hey, there is a resource without tag.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
Maybe that's a malicious EC2 instance. So someone cracked you or something. So for that purpose as well.
I see,
For security,
Okay, thanks. Any more questions? I have a microphone.
Thank you very much.
Otherwise, I would have another question.
Go ahead.
Do you have some notion of a billing period? So if you are billing customers, how do you do that and how do you make sure that it's closed then? So that as soon as you have sent a bill, you will not make any more additions or changes to it? So
So we have two models. One is the monthly billing. So it's really the beginning of the month and end of the month. The challenging part is marketplace. So if you are presented in marketplace, then like we do now billing in like fifth or sixth day of the month, because we will have all of the data from clouds. Clouds are not always fast. Like they provide the billing once in 4 hours or like once a day, depends on the cloud. And you can have this kind of window when you don't know, like in the first of the months, you don't know how much you spent on the resources. And that you need a little bit of delay, right? That's like you're doing the invoices on 5th or something. Marketplace more challenging because they require real-time billing. So they you need to provide them hourly billing for your cloud and for your solution. And that's where the things got tricky because kind of the open cost is really nice. We use that for exporter. At least we will bill them for some time and then we reconcile with resources and can bill a little bit more, like saying like, hey, you used too many IOPS, you have S3 bucket with the backup, OpenCost knows nothing about that. And then when we have this billing, we do reconciliation and send additional cost, and Focus supports that, like how to bill for that.
Okay, very interesting, thanks.
Yeah, please.
So now I'm finished.
Cool, then thank you very much.